Psalm 90. We read the entire psalm just a moment ago. I'd like for you to look at verse number 12 as our key verse this morning. It begins with so. That means that there has been previous build up or bringing a thought that now a conclusion, a climax. So, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Well, we do that, don't we? We mark our days. We call them birthdays. We celebrate those birthdays. Yet, as I look back in history as to the origin of celebrating birthdays, do you realize you do not find it at all in the history of the Jewish people? The origin of birthdays, recognizing birthdays, goes back to Egypt, and only the pharaohs, not the common people, but recognizing the birthday of the potentate, the leader, the pharaoh. It was picked up by the Greeks and the Romans, but in our day and time, it's a big thing. Celebrating birthdays. I just celebrated another birthday, my 64th, marking that I've been on the earth 64 years. I'm into my 65th year. But is that all there is to it? Just celebrating our birthdays, marking, numbering our days? No, that's not what this scripture is talking about when it says to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. As I have spent time contemplating and meditating upon this, this is what I believe it really is saying to us. Celebrate, that's not the idea. Calibrate, that's the idea. Celebrate or calibrate? You say, Brother Rodney, what do you mean by that? Well, let me just say that I had not planned on preaching on this morning. I was in my plan of my schedule, was wanting to finish up Acts 28. But yet I got a call of a dear friend who wanted me to come to Atlanta yesterday and bury his mother-in-law. This childhood friend of mine, I've mentioned to you in the call-out I did the other day. We've known each other since 6 or 7 years old, and God saved him and myself about the same time, 1969, him just a few weeks before me. And then we went to Bible college together and so forth. I preached his mother's funeral 7 years ago, and now his mother-in-law. So being around weeping people, family members, a funeral home, a cemetery, a body in a casket that we all come around and view, It brings into focus once again that death is real. Death is coming for each of us. Death is a reality with our mothers, our fathers. Many of you have lost your mother and father, as I have. I could not sympathize with those who had lost their mothers and fathers until just a few years ago when I lost my mother and my father. You that still have your mother and father, that's a reality you know is coming, but it's kind of hard to grasp it until it happens. So yesterday in the funeral, I spoke from this portion of Scripture, which I have spoken many times at funeral services from this portion of Scripture. But after the funeral yesterday and then early this morning, I began to write down some things that are different than I've ever thought about before concerning numbering our days, teaching us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So, celebrating days, celebrating birthdays, celebrating years on the earth, I'm not saying that's wrong. That's not what this is talking about. It's saying to us that there should be something done as we look at life and our years that would cause us to calibrate. You say, I don't understand what calibrate is. The word calibrate means to adjust a piece of equipment, to set it right, to correct it. It's out of whack, you need to reset it. For instance, on my countertop in my kitchen, I bought a scale to measure out portions of meat, 4 ounces of chicken or whatever. And it's not a digital, it is a spring scale. And there's a marker that shows you the 0 point. But it's a little cheap plastic thing. You look at it after it's been used a little bit and knocked around. The dial, the red mark, is 2 or 3 marks over from the 0. I have to remember every time I'm going to measure something, I have to reach down and get it back to 0. Then when I put the items in, it's a true measurement. Calibrate. If you get stopped by a patrolman and he says, I've clocked you at such and such a amount, he says, you can step back here and I can calibrate the machine to let you see that it's in calibration, it's set right. Now, how would I know something like that? I don't know. But I have had a patrolman say that to me, that you were going such and such, which I didn't think I was going that, but he says, we'll step back here and I'll let you see the machine and we'll calibrate it and see if it was truly in the right setting. Well, to think about, as I did yesterday, death. As I thought about again, my mother, as they were burying their mother, all the tears of the daughters, the son-in-laws, the grandchildren, they knew that Hawkins was going to die. They knew because it's been a process and over a period of time. So they were prepared. You and I don't always get that preparation. Death can come very suddenly, very quickly in our own life and our loved ones' lives. So here the Scripture is talking about There should be some calibrations done in our life as we think about numbering our days. This is a psalm of preparation, preparing us to die, preparing us to lose our loved ones. I never knew my great-grandparents. I only knew my grandparents. My grandfather, my dad's dad, he died in 1963. I was 9 years old. Didn't have really comprehension about what all was going on. But he was there one day. He's not there the next day. I wasn't prepared for my grandfather's death. And then my other grandparents, I remember my grandmother, May, Mama May. I was going along through life as a young pastor. Didn't get down to see her like I should have. Didn't really think about, well, she could go. She was just in her 60s. Thought that would have her for a good while longer. She was having a procedure done at the hospital. And then I get a call while I'm up in Gainesville, Georgia, with a preacher friend that Mama May has died. I was not prepared. I'm a preacher. I'd done many funerals up to that point, but yet I did not think my grandmother, where we went every Christmas Eve, where we spent many Sunday afternoons with in Monroe, Georgia, I didn't appreciate the time I had with her and thought like, lived like she was going to live, you know, forever. This psalm is a psalm to teach us to prepare for death, for us to prepare to die, but also to prepare us for the death of our mother, our father, our grandfather, our grandmother. Some in this room have lost siblings. One day your sibling is there. One day your brother, your sister, and something tragic happens and they're not there anymore. They die. You think that how could this happen? Shouldn't I have been prepared? Shouldn't I have been notified? Shouldn't I have had some type of forewarning? That's what this psalm is about. That death is coming for all of us. It will come many times suddenly. It will come sometimes with notice, with a disease and a period of time before death comes. But here the psalmist says, actually this is Moses, a prayer of Moses, the man of God, who's talking about death. Death. It is appointed unto man, or mankind, once to die, and after that, the judgment. Boys and girls, young people, you know that that can happen with your mother or your father or a brother or sister, but you probably don't do much thinking about it. Even yourself, you think, how long will I live? How many years will I be upon this earth? You don't think about those things, and I'm not trying to be macabre this morning or be overly serious about this for young minds, but I think you would appreciate having these thoughts and these possibilities that are in each of our lives. So, we celebrate our birthdays. We look to the future that we'll have another one next year. But I might not make it to my 65th birthday. Next time this year, somebody else might be standing here because Brother Rodney has gone on to be with the Lord. And I might not look out next year, if I'm here, and see you. We would all agree that's a fact of life, is it not? It is a possibility. And one day it will happen for each of us. So what should I learn this morning? What should we learn this morning? What verse 12 says. Look at verse 12 again. Let's read it slowly. So, teach us to number our days. Why? That we may get a heart of wisdom. Or that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Now, this is a mathematical word, number. So teach us to number. We know numbers. We know fractions. We know that if a person lives to 100 years of age, divide that by four, their first 25 years on the earth is a fourth of their life. 50 years is half of their life. 75 years is three quarters of their life. Teach us to number our days. Is that possible? Is it possible for me to be able to number my days? He's not speaking here about the exact number. But thinking about myself, I don't think I'll live to be 100 based upon my father, my grandfather. Could, but don't think so. So, I've already passed half, 50. Now I'm in the 60s, the mid-60s. I know this for a fact. There's more behind me than is in front of me. Now I'm beginning to think, this is beginning to weigh. It's getting kind of weighty as I'm thinking about that. God is saying, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Now, as I looked at that, I began to think, and I jotted these things down early this morning as I was meditating on this. There's four things I just want to say about this. Number one, we need a teacher. We need a teacher. Because verse number 12 says, so teach us. Now, who's he speaking to? Who is he praying to? Moses is praying. He's praying to God. He's saying to God, I need a teacher. He's speaking to God, teach me to number my days, our days. Now, you know that when he's saying this here, he is praying about the uncertainty of the future. But we need a teacher, one who knows the beginning from the end. We need a teacher who's experienced, a teacher who has the qualifications. Does God have the qualifications here? Look at what it says in the early part of this psalm. In verse number one, that God, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. From the beginning of Adam until now, you have been our dwelling place before the mountains were brought forth. Before you had formed the earth and the world, verse 2. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You've always been. I think you a good teacher, a qualified teacher, an experienced teacher to teach me something here. Moses is saying. So teach us. Teach me. When you look at the first few verses of the book of Psalm number 90, this book, this prayer of the beginning of book 4 of the Psalms, you see here the formula: birth, life, you die. You're born. You have a beginning. You live. Everybody lives a different amount of time. Year might be the same. Month, day. But we die at different times of the day, different minute of the day, different second of the day. But we all die. Surely there will be somebody else that you will live the same amount of time, die the same amount of days, die the same exact time. But generally speaking, everybody is different. But God wanted in His Word for us to understand it is appointed unto man, women, boys, girls, every person in mankind, we will die physically. So we have a teacher here. His name is God. He's the Creator. He's Jehovah. He is certainly well experienced. He was before anything. When you see in verse number 3 that God returns us to what? Dust. That's where we came from, and that's what we shall return to. He even says in verse number 4 that 1,000 years in your sight is but as yesterday when it's past, or a watch in the night. In other words, our teacher here, God, He does not measure time like we measure time. 1,000 years are but as a day. 1,000 years means nothing to God as far as measurement of time, because God does not live in time. He lives outside of time. What He has created lives in time, had a beginning, will have an ending. But God is outside of His creation. He says in verse number 5 that He sweeps them away like a flood. They're like a dream. He's speaking here about death. Like grass that's renewed in the morning, and in the morning it flourishes and renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. That's a picture of us. Verse number 7 says that we are brought to an end. This is what is being taught to us by the teacher. We are brought to an end by your anger. You say, now wait a minute. Is it saying that every time somebody dies, it's because God is angry? No, it's saying that in the beginning, when God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree, and the day you'll eat, you will surely die, because they disobeyed, the consequences had to come about. And there had to be death. And because of God's anger at their disobedience, mankind now will die. You set our sins before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Look at how he explains it in verse number 9, or how he poetically says, dying, for all of our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. A sigh. The years of our life are 70. Or even by reason of strength, 80. But notice the last part of verse number 10. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. Job said it this way, that man is born of woman, full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Everybody has trouble. Everybody experiences pain, suffering, and then one day we're gone. One day we, what does it say there in verse number 10, the last phrase? We're soon gone and we fly away. That's speaking of our spirit. The real you and I, we leave this body, we fly away. So that's why in verse 12, Moses says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Or not that we celebrate or punctuate this many years I've lived, but to calibrate, get our lives set in order. Understand, in my case, that I don't have many years left like I had many years before me in my early days as an adult and a pastor. The day is coming. Notice the second thing here. Not only we need a teacher, we need a focus on a subject. When you take a class that you focus on, a subject you focus on. Here the class, the teacher is teaching us about days, our days, all of our days, the possibilities of our days, of how much years we've got left, how many days we've got left, what is our life span or the scan of our life. Third thing, we're to apply our learning to wisdom. All right, you take a class. You got a good teacher. Secondly, you've got a subject that you're studying. The focus here is our life, the longevity or the brevity. But the third thing here is you want to take that class and learn in that class and then extrapolate from that class your learning, your knowledge, and then apply it to your life. You want to take your learning. If your learning is all up here, or in your diploma on the wall, or your degree, and you've never applied all your learning to life, that means that you got knowledge, but you don't have wisdom. Knowledge tells me I'm going to die one day. You're going to die one day. Wisdom says I'm going to prepare. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to love my mother and my father. I'm going to cherish the time I have with them. I could lose them today. My grandparent, my son, my daughter. You could have celebrated the last Thanksgiving with a loved one in your family. That's just a possibility. That's what you call applying your heart to wisdom. To tell yourself, I need to straighten up. I need to appreciate my loved one. I need to appreciate and cherish the moments I have with them, because the day will come when they will no longer be here with me. So we got the teacher. He's a qualified teacher. He has experience. He was here before anything was. He created everything. The focus on the class we're taking with him, the subject, is time. Days, the span of our life. And now we want to apply our learning, our knowledge to wisdom. And here's the fourth thing. We finish our course. There came a day when you was taking that class that you finished the course. It was done. That was the last class period you were going to be with that teacher in that school. And of course, I'm speaking here about one day we're going to finish our course on this earth. We're going to die. We're going to transition. If we're prepared to die, We know the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If we don't know the Lord, we will be absent from the body, but we won't be present with the Lord. We'll be separated from the Lord. We'll be in a place that He calls hell, that He calls everlasting separation, everlasting torment. What do? We finish our course. Didn't Paul say it like that? Paul said, fought a good fight. I finished my course. Here he was speaking about a running course. Life was like a race, and he was running the race. I finished my course. I've come to the end of my course. Isn't that kind of strange how that we call a class that we take a course? It has a beginning. It has an ending. And one day we're going to finish our course. Our days will pass away, verse number 9. We'll bring our years to an end, verse number 9. The years of our life will be ended, verse number 10. Their span will be seen in completion when you finish your course. So, we spend a lot of time celebrating, don't we? We have birthday parties, we buy cakes, we get gifts, we spend time celebrating. And I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is, instead of spending all of our focus on the celebration of our years, let's let God teach us to number our years, or to help us to calibrate, get our minds in the right setting so that we will consider and think about our mother, our father, our son, our daughter, our husband, our wife, our grandparents, these people that still are here with us. And let's cherish. Let's apply our hearts to wisdom and use that time to its best benefit. Somebody wisely said, make sure when it comes time for you to die that the only thing you need to do is die. That you don't have any other preparations to make. That you don't have any things you need to tie up, but you're ready. You're prepared. You've considered this. You've thought long and hard about this. As you've looked at your husband or your wife, you said, I'm going to love them and enjoy them. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to cherish them. Ever how much time left we have. It's getting more precious and more precious. Same with your children and grandparents and so on and so forth. That's my heart to you this morning. Let's pray. Father, one day we'll look back. Might not be too far from here. We'll look back and we'll say, you remember that message? That Thanksgiving weekend, 2018. You'll say, the Lord was giving me a warning then. He was giving me a look ahead. You will either thank God that you received it, that from that day forward, or you might look back with regret and say, I heard it, I was there, but I didn't really take it to heart like I should have. Young person, you're the one that has the hardest time in all of this. Child, teenager, young adult, y'all have the hardest time because everything's in front of you, you think, and it possibly is for many, many, many years. But you have the hardest time. Please apply your heart to wisdom. Take what you don't understand and believe it, even though it's not maybe real in your life yet.
and the older ones in this room. Oh, it sinks in with us, doesn't it? Oh, we feel the gravity of these words and these truths from Scripture. Let's squeeze every bit of time we have left and get the most out of it for the glory of God. Father, would you help us this morning, especially that one, I pray, that young person that God, they've not yet placed their faith and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and claimed salvation. Oh, may they do that today. May they trust the substitute that died on the cross for sinners. And Lord, help us all, I pray, as we leave this place on this Sunday morning with a different mindset, with a different calibration. Our minds have been calibrated. Our hearts have been calibrated. We've been set and adjusted to experience the best of what is left in our lives. Let's quietly stand.